It is Friday. We are live. This is Warm Beer and Cheap Seats. I'm Casey. I'm with Big Mike, also featuring Big A. Big Mike, take it away. What's happening? It is Friday night. Warm Beer and the Cheap Seats coming at you. Well, all kinds of great, exciting shit tonight. We got Big Ed's Rock and Roll Retrospective.
That's right.
With a really cool album.
Yes.
We're going to talk a little bit Tampa Bay Lightning. We have, we're going to give our own hurricane coverage for good old Hurricane Elsa. I think my farts had more power that night than Elsa.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll save that for a later segment. And Casey's got a commentary for us. We're going to lead off with Casey's commentary.
Yeah. So, all right. As customary, I have a routine on Sunday. And on Sunday, I like to make a large pot of coffee and watch CBS Sunday Morning, which I know is probably just the NPR of morning TV. I digress. So I'm watching it, and they're doing this little piece on, you know, we're coming from the 4th of July and what people are thankful for. And it's like this Vietnamese lady talking about, you know, that America, they have a lot of pies. And, you know, she's just like, man, Americans, they eat so many pies, and there's so many different ones and different ones for different states. And, you know, I just want to travel around and eat all the pies and write a book and just talk about all the pies America can eat. And, you know, I'm just thinking we're just like a bunch of I eat motherfuckers, you know. I'm like, all right, well, touche, lady. I'm moving to Vietnam, and I'm falling in love with that great nation. And in the end, I'm going to write a poem that says, no, no, I love you long time. Yeah.
We missed the laugh track. Fuck.
We could. Hey, Big Ed.
Hey, guys. There you go.
There it is.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, I'm not scared of the silence, you know?
Hey, quick question. So
the silence is golden.
Silence is golden.
That was a song. Anyway, hey, did late our Vietnamese
So is all those Goldie Grams.
Yeah. Oh. Or yeah, Golden Grams or Golden Girls.
Wait, what are we talking about?
I don't know what we're talking about. Hey, our Vietnamese lady, what pies did she eat? Did she expound on what pies?
I don't know. And then the segment went sideways where they were talking about a lady. The guy that's doing the segment, he's banging.
She didn't like Rickerish.
And I don't know. And then she's talking about, you know, making an apple or a cherry pie, and you know why they're American. And they're talking about Johnny Appleseed. I mean, what are the odds that that guy's name was Johnny Appleseed and he was handing out apple seeds? That can't be true, right?
I think it was a name change. It's a stage name. Definitely a stage. That was probably one of the very first stage names ever. His name was probably John Lukowitz, and he just changed it.
You know what? Your name, Frank Shitcock, does not just work. So if we're going to change it to Johnny
Appleseed. That reminds me of Kurt Coxlinger. I totally get what you're saying. Yeah, anyway. Wah, sounds like the Peanuts. Wah. Oh, thank you for
Melissa
that.
Said, Sweet Melissa said something about a woodcock. That's for our listening public who may not have heard woodcock. Hey, while we're on the subject, let's just like segue a little here. Okay. Pies. I love pie.
Okay.
Favorite pies. Do we have a favorite pie? Casey, Big Ed, what?
Woodpecker pie.
Woodpecker pie?
Oh, yeah. Weren't they always trying to get that?
Hey, look. Is that Jimmy Mike calling in?
Yeah, it's going to give him a minute. When we see him. There he is. Welcome back, Jimmy Mike.
Hey, how are you guys?
Jimmy Mike. Hey,
oh, buddy. Hey, you got to turn up your mic. You're way low.
Am I there?
Well, yeah, you're faintly. It sounds like you're talking on a tin. You put a string
into a
tin can and you attach it to your iPhone.
A 960-mile string.
Oh, how's that? Are you in Vietnam waiting for me to do my love poem to Vietnam?
Yeah. Is this better there, Vietnam?
Oh, yeah, wow. You got better, Jimmy.
Back. Hey, all right, okay. Jimmy. Hey, what I wanted to discuss with you first before we get on, you have a couple things that you know you brought up, and we're going to get over here in a second. You had informed me that the American Ballet in Middleburg has been sold out. However, you assured me you have ways to get in. So what I want to discuss are possible ways that you're getting in.
Well, if I reveal all my secrets, it won't be a surprise for the show.
There won't be secrets anymore.
Well, see, because I was thinking in every movie, you always just go in as a caterer. You just put on a vest and a black slacks and you just walk in. You see a tray on the ground. You pick it up. You walk around. You give out an hors d'oeuvre, and then you put the tray down, and then boom.
And then you're in.
Well, here's kind of the tentative plan that I have.
Or he's sitting there. He goes, wait, hold my beer.
Yes.
And he just goes in for it.
I go right in. So here's – I'm going to be wearing a full leotard with my toe shoes for the ballet.
That's awesome.
I knew it.
You know what? I like the waiter thing and the maybe maybe some type of a black tie affair to make it look like I'm in there. And I will walk in, and then I will put the beer down, and I will strip off my clothes instantly, and I will get onto stage, and I will do my toe dance, my little Irish jig. And
Wait a minute.
You're going full Enrico Palazzo. I love it.
So, Jimmy, Mike, are you going to leave the leotard on or take the leotard off?
Well, it depends on what the producer, you know, Petey says.
Depends on how many cops are running behind him.
You should do a penis helicopter while you're at it.
Well, I am going to rent a Bronco, a white Bronco, when I do this.
And do a slow chase?
Yes, a slow chase down Middleburg, down John Moseley.
Al Cowlings is still driving. He's like, not again.
Not again.
Why does this keep happening to me?
That could be a Family Guy segment right there, a quick segue, you know? You know how they segue into stupid pop culture things?
Yeah. All right. Here's the other way.
That'd be a great segue.
You know, like a big sporting event, they always have that guy that like parachutes in the middle of it. You could just parachute right in the middle of that son of a bitch.
I think it's got a glass ceiling. It's got a glass ceiling, so I was going to do some Mission Impossible bullshit up there.
I could almost guarantee there'll be no repercussions.
I mean, and have a banner that says hashtag free Britney, you son of a bitch.
Well, I will have that on my underwear. On the back of my underwear, but I will have a flag that says Donald Trump won because that guy's not allowed to be Major League Baseball.
Oh, yeah, there's a guy that keeps like hanging a banner at baseball games and Trump won.
And I'm sure he will bail me out of jail when this all happens after it all ends.
Oh, of course.
Sure. Actually, the throwing him out is on the other side of that guy's sign says, fuck the DH rule, and I think that's why they threw him out.
I see no flaws in this plan.
Not at all. It's going to be the story number two.
And you know what? I bet there'll hardly be any repercussions. Just fucking go for it.
Yeah.
What could possibly go wrong?
Lou, do you have a – I'm sorry. Big Ed, do you have a place
jail I can time?
Stay? Yeah.
So I need a driver. And I need backup. So I heard some of you guys are pretty good behind the wheel.
He called Chalky.
Oh, God.
Hey, buddy.
Yeah, he'll be wearing his NASCAR jacket.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy, why are you running so fast? Sit out, let me take a load off for you, buddy.
So
you don't have, he'd say, you don't have to keep doing stupid shit like that.
So we got Mr. Rhino, the mascot up here in the Leesburg area. He is going to be on some Quaaludes tonight.
Oh,
and he's going to the vet tomorrow to get a few pricks put in him for his annuals. So I'm thinking about sharing some of his Quaaludes.
That sounds like fun.
That's always advisable.
Yep.
That's another what could possibly go wrong. I mean,
and I'll have my cat.
There's no flaws in that.
I'll have my cat Toonses.
No holes in that bucket.
My cat Toonses will drive us to the vet.
Yeah.
because Toonsis is a great driver.
Always ends well with Toonsis.
It does, and somehow it's always the same damn clip.
Yep. Oh no, Toonsis, watch out!
You might want to bring your helmet.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea. I'll put you guys on Bluetooth, and I'll talk all the way through.
That would be a good segment for the show.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I think Toonsis won't be able to handle those roundabouts.
No, not at all.
Trips up.
Just you think Toonsis could do the American Ballet with me? Do you think she could be the driver?
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
I would be a perfect combination. It's like a match made in heaven.
I think Chalk could be offended.
Yeah. Chalky could be ride shotgun and hand over beers to Toonsis.
Jimmy, Mike, you met Chalky, right?
Yeah. Does he still work at the dealership over at the
I don't know what he's doing. He was at the Ram truck. It's called Ram.
Ram. I thought it said Mars in the rearview mirror. It says Mar.
Yeah.
Hey, if you can't dodge it, ram it.
That's what they say.
That's what they say.
Hey, speaking of ramming stuff, how about this, like, ramming mayonnaise down your throat with these chicken sandwiches now?
That was a very smooth segue there.
Good. Like that. That's what I'm hired on this show to do.
Yeah, I'd like to know about said chicken sandwiches that have that much mayonnaise.
All right. So it started, you know, probably like a year and a half ago, you know, Popeyes came out with a new fried chicken sandwich. They're always sold out.
Which I still have not tried.
All right, I've had that chicken sandwich. I had two bites and immediately threw it in the trash.
What did you not like?
They just put too much mayonnaise on it. Look, I don't mind mayo, and mayo with chicken's fine, but you don't slather the bottom and the top of the bun. It's sliding all over the place. It's like a Wet n' Wild. If I want to do that, I go to a water park. I'm eating a chicken fucking sandwich here, bub. You know?
You don't want to lose traction.
Why are people shooting each other?
So everyone's like, we're coming out with now a chicken sandwich, and everyone puts too much mayo on it.
Except. That's like the chicken wars now?
Except Chick-fil-A.
Chick-fil-A
except for
awesome.
Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
Because they let you sauce it yourself. They give you the pickles on it, which I love.
But Chick-fil-A, you have to eat their sandwich right then and there.
It doesn't travel well.
They're like, we got this contraption that's going to keep it as humid as possible. So it's just nice and moist bun for you. Because everyone loves wet bread.
Yeah.
Like I'm a fucking duck.
Wah, wah.
Do you see water beating off the back?
No.
Right?
I don't see any feathers either.
Do you see me
that
waddling?
Sounds like beef on the whack. Beef on the whack. Yeah. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
That's a good sandwich, too.
It is, but that's what it's supposed to be.
But I'm not a mayonnaise fan. I hate mayonnaise. I'm part of the mayonnaise haters of America.
I don't mind mayonnaise. Mayonnaise has its place.
But, yeah, like, in the garbage.
Oh, really? How you eating your tuna fish?
Ouch! That's about the only thing I eat mayonnaise on, believe it or not, is I'll mix it in my tuna.
But what about coleslaw? Coleslaw?
Nope, don't eat it.
Wow. No macaroni salad?
Nope.
What?
Potato salad.
Out.
Pussy?
Yes. But that doesn't have mayonnaise on it.
Vagina. Sweet Melissa.
I think that.
Sweet Melissa, you don't want to hear it. That would hurt your sweet Melissa ears.
I think the parrot would say, Bart, if it's got mayo on it, wear a condom.
So, no, listen, if I were to order one of these chicken sandwiches, I'd tell them, hold the fucking mayo. I don't want the mayo. Don't need the mayo. Just give me the chicken and the bread. Thanks.
You could do that at the counter when you order. You don't have to,
Have you ever seen that Geico commercial where the lady at the diner goes, I didn't order mayo, and then she takes the bread and she scrapes it on the side of the table, and she goes, here you go. There's no.
You know, I'm okay with mayonnaise if it's hidden in something. If it's an ingredient. If it's an ingredient in a
there's a lot of baking you end up using mayo in.
Yeah, because it actually makes, like, chocolate cake, they
correct.
Use mayonnaise.
Yes.
Because it makes it nice and moist. But it's like adding eggs.
Right.
So at that point,
eggs and oil. That's what mayonnaise is.
So it's baked in at that point, but don't put it on my sandwich. I'm okay with it in the tuna, though. For whatever reason, I know I'm weird. I'm Big Mike. I can be weird like that. Mayonnaise is okay in tuna fish, and that's it in Big Mike's world.
That's what makes you you, Big Mike.
Yeah. That's what my mommy used to tell me. So anyway, there's my rant on mayonnaise.
Yeah. I'm fine with
it. I think the guys at Hellman's are upset. They're like, we have one angry customer.
We just lost that sponsor.
We did lose Hellman's.
Oh, wait, the check's clear. Never mind. Fuck him.
So, you know, and we're going to segue one more time. So we're watching wrestling.
Yep, SmackDown's on.
SmackDown, and they showed Titus O'Neil, who is a local to our area.
Yep.
They showed the Tampa Bay Lightning, the Stanley Cup champions. He was in the locker room after.
Lightning strikes twice, baby.
So,
Bailey shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the WWE donated a championship belt to the Tampa Bay Lightning to recognize their championship. Pretty cool.
Wow.
Custom belt. It's got the Lightning insignia on it.
Pretty cool.
I'm not sure how much you guys watched that series. I think the best part was the press conference with a shirtless beer chugging Kucherov.
I didn't see the press conference.
Chugging and crushing Bud Lights. Oh, by the way, he's now the new Bud Light spokesperson.
That's awesome. And then good for you, Cooch.
And making fun of crybaby Montreal Canadian fans. He's like, they're acting like they won the damn cup. You only won one game. He was feeling no pain.
No.
He was all about the
F-bomb. Oh, yeah. It was something else.
It's pretty awesome. Shirtless chugging beer. So, you know, he's right at home in the Tampa Bay area.
Oh, yeah.
He fits right in.
They have the boat parade already scheduled for Monday.
He'll probably be shirtless chugging beers.
They've already been told the Stanley Cup is much heavier than the Lombardi Trophy. Do not throw it.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes.
Probably a wise warning. It'd make a big splash.
It would be the first time the cups landed in a river. And it fell in whatever river that's adjacent to Toronto, like in the 60s.
Huh. And it's no worse for wear.
And they found it like a day later.
It's pretty awesome.
Yep.
So how'd it end up in the river?
No one really remembers.
I can respect that.
I mean, if there was something that could ever tell a story, I would love for it to be the Stanley
Cup.
Yeah. That thing's lived the best version of life possible.
And there's probably stories the cup would tell and would wish it couldn't remember.
Correct.
Yeah. I was just going to say, I'm sure there was a, yeah.
There's a few scarring moments.
Yeah.
In the cup's lifetime.
Someone thought it'd be funny to like to run a batch in there or something, you know?
It's kind of gross.
Those are the kind of stories the cup wants to forget, you know?
But you know, the cup is, that is sterling, so that'll clean up. A little Brasso, you'll be all right.
Yeah. Never dull.
Yeah.
A little never dull.
Get rid of the, you know, batch stains.
After that, yeah, Susie cupcake couldn't take care of.
Take a black light to it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Probably like, woo. I don't think I want to touch that thing.
Yeah. That's why the guy always holds it with white gloves.
White gloves. He's okay. He's doing that for his own health.
That's why he didn't get in the shower. They said at the games that he had to shave it.
He's like, it puts the lotion on the skin or it gets the hose.
Do you think that guy got like a little intimate with the cup at any point?
I puts the lotion in the cup.
Yeah. He kind of looks like Boris Johnson, the guy that's carrying the cup around.
Well, maybe they're related.
Could be.
Could be. Okay, so on Kucherov's Wikipedia page, they haven't changed the picture to the shirtless beer drinking.
No, not yet, but it'll be there soon.
That I would really campaign for that to change.
That guy's awesome, man. I mean, he was key in the postseason. He was like involved in like just about every major play. I think he led the league in scoring in the playoffs like 2 years in a row. So, and you can't say enough about Vasilevskiy and how good of a goalie he is. So, congratulations, Lightning.
Go Lightning. Good job.
Yeah.
Now it's on to the Rays. Now it's their job.
How about that? What do you, you know, their prospects are good.
Yeah, no, the Rays are going good. You know, we got the All-Star break coming up here shortly, so we'll get a few days off. But they're in a good spot. They're a few games behind Boston. They're right where they need to be. You know, we got half the season left, so, you know, hopes are high. You know, they're in a good spot. But, you know, with all things considered, you know, we had this – actually, Jimmy, how's the weather up by you? You getting a lot of rain?
Well, we get it every day. It almost seems like Florida. We get it for like 2-3 hours a day. Pretty wicked weather, thunderstorms. But it's been about 90s, high 90s here. It's
so,
pretty crazy.
So was Elsa an issue with you guys? Anything out of the usual?
No. Well, just some thunderstorms which pop up in July. It's just what happens here.
I mean, if you're watching the news here, they preempted every. Thing. So I'm like, well, I guess I'm watching the NBA Finals on not an HD channel because they got to scare all the old people into watching the news right. All night, you know.
Because Elsa was a non-event here as well.
Yeah, they were like 5 o'clock, it's starting. At 9 o'clock, it started drizzling.
Yeah.
We got some rain. I think we got more rain in the couple thunderstorms 4 days prior than
we did. Right.
Yeah. That thing was a weak ass bitch.
What do they call it? A category?
What's that? Cat one. I think it was a tropical storm by the time it hit Tampa.
Tropical storm by the time I was swinging by Tampa.
Yeah, petered out.
Yeah.
You know, and you got to take this shit seriously. And
never know.
We did. We stayed inside. I didn't stand outside.
You know, Elsa took its weak ass crony dick and just kind of moseyed on by. That's it.
At one point, I had to go outside. I'm like, is it raining? Because I was watching a movie. I watched Ford vs. Ferrari, finally. I'll tell you, the only good thing to come out of Elsa, I didn't have to go to work until 10 o'clock the next day.
No, I was there first thing in the morning, 8:30. Really? Now, I did get out early at like 4:30 the day before, but only because, you know, we were told, hey, 5 o'clock, it's going to start getting a little hairy, which, again, never happened.
Right. Well, at my place of business, they were like, hey, we're not going to open till 10. And I think they did this to prevent anybody from the old calling in. Hey, I got to clean up my yard. I can't come in tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I think that's what happened.
Well, because, some people don't let an excuse squeak by. You know?
Correct. Correct. And I think this was the preemptive measure to prevent that from happening. So they're like, hey, everybody, you don't have to come in until 10. So if you have to clean anything up in your yard or whatever, do it then. See you at 10. I'm like, well, shit. Studio C, I don't have a yard to clean up. Well, I can just sleep in, make some breakfast, hang out. Well, it was good. That was the best thing to come of Elsa.
Yeah.
There's a few branches down outside the studio, and that's about it.
No,
nothing else.
Nothing at my place. Uh-oh.
Is that the chimes at the...
No, we got plenty of time.
We're a little earlier. Sorry, I had to play with them.
It's my chicken.
It's chicken.
No candy. I have a vintage milk glass chicken up here. It's a Westmoreland Glass Company chicken. And... kind of just hangs out here. It's a candy dish.
See, one day you're going to see this motherfucker on Antique Roadshow. Like, dude, oh my, this is nice.
That's my dream, dude. That if my radio career doesn't happen, antiquing's my way out of what I do now. I hope. Fingers crossed. So,
hey, Big Mike, it could be if it goes. If
hey,
it goes,
I wouldn't mind radio work. And so, hey, big sponsors out there, if you're listening, it's Warm Beer and Cheap Seats. Big Mike coming at you Friday night.
Yeah. Hey, it could be the Antique Roadshow, or it could be Hoarders.
Oh, what are the
there
other?
Is a fine line.
There is a fine line. Yeah. And Hoarders, I want to
smell urine.
Yeah. Those houses are gross, man.
Yeah, when you start having dead animals, I think that's when it becomes a hoarder.
Yeah, it's like, you know, when there's like fucking boxes piled up in your house, that's not collecting. No. Yeah.
That's not collecting.
That's hoarding.
Yeah, that's ground zero for fucking outbreak.
If you have things displayed on the wall nice and neat,
that's
that
the next
is collecting.
Pandemic waiting to happen.
Yeah.
Hey, and on these hoarder shows, do you notice some of the shit they have? They keep like empty bags, empty boxes.
But they're going to use them.
To do what?
That's what they always say. They said that show's bullshit. They never help the people.
They just yell at them.
They just yell at them. Those people obviously have mental health issues. They need therapy. I mean, they'll clean the house. They'll turn around and refill that house in half a day. They need therapy. That show's bullshit.
Well, don't they? They have the therapist that comes along.
That therapist don't do shit. That therapist got their degree online. You know, what time is it? I'll have
therapist,
my degree online here in the next 45 minutes.
The therapist gives them an AR-15 and says, now stay away from them schools, goddammit.
Okay. So... But I do watch it.
That's a dig on our mental health in our country. That's what that was.
Well, you know, not to get on a tangent, you know, that's the sad part in our country, that the mental health thing. Hey, listeners, friends, nothing wrong with getting a little help. It's all good in the hood.
Absolutely.
Don't end up like don't end up on Hoarders. That's not the show you want to be on. Not the show.
Don't be a Mr. Bungle.
Don't be a Mr. Bungle. Hey, Jimmy.
Yes.
You sent me an article. Now, Ric Flair has a airline. Is that what that is?
And it's a Canadian airline.
Yeah.
Canadian airline, yeah. It's unbelievable.
Oh, you're low down.
He got some Canadians to finance him to be the Woo Airlines.
Woo!
See, that would be cool if it said Woo along the whole side of the aircraft.
Like all the way down the fuselage?
Yes.
I think that's pretty slick.
See, the thing that really caught my eye is when they said ultra low-cost airline. That's, I'm like, well, where are we going low-cost? On the maintenance? On the parts?
Yes. All the above.
You know what? I'm going to walk. Yeah.
What have you flown? A Cessna? Yeah, good enough.
Well, Cessna makes a Citation.
Yeah.
I've done flight tracker before. You're hired.
Yeah, I use Microsoft Flight Navigator.
Ah, good enough. You're hey, in. Why don't you do a little demonstration for us? Oh, I did pretty good.
I played Top Gun on the original Nintendo system. I can't really land on the carrier, though.
That was the toughest part of that game.
Oh, man. There were a few that I just went a little over.
Hey, that's what that fool did that took that Q400 from Alaska Air Express, you know, one of the regional carriers for Alaska Air. That's what that fool did.
What did he do?
A couple years ago, the dude took the plane and fucking barrel rolled and crashed.
Oh, in Seattle.
Yeah.
Oh, no. That was like some civilian, though, right?
Yeah,
civilian. But you said, yeah. you could play the simulator, but that's what this kid did.
It was a Q400 or something.
He got it up off the ground, swung the gear, he was cruising. He did a barrel roll, and then he ran out of gas and crashed.
So had he had enough fuel on board, he would have been okay.
Well,
no, he would have been fucked regardless.
Oh, okay.
Landing the plane is probably the hardest part of the whole deal, you know? I mean, maybe he could have, but, you know, he knew what he was doing. He knew that the plane only had ramp fuel on it, you know, 1,800 pounds, 2,000 pounds, whatever the minimum is that they could land with.
Wow.
Yeah, so he probably got 12 minutes of flying. I don't know. I bet it wasn't, you know. Because you got to eat a lot of that up to get off the ground, you know.
Gee, you think that goes into his flight log?
I don't think he finished his penwitten right. I think if you listen to the voice recording, it goes, "Damn, Bic."
When in doubt, use a pencil.
Yeah, it's true.
Can't write. No, you can't use pencil in a logbook. It's got to be blue or black ink.
Oh, yeah, blue or black ink. You're right.
Same with nursing.
Thanks.
You think they'd only let you use blue ink? Blue ink's kind of like the official ink. But
I've grown to I was a blue ink guy all my life until I got into aviation. Now, black ink only.
All right. Yeah.
Something official about black ink, you know?
Well, but blue ink, it's like, you know, the way I look at blue ink.
It's blue.
If you make a photocopy, it's now black ink. So if you see blue ink, you know it's an original.
Correct.
So there. There's my vote for the blue ink.
That's right.
Go blue ink. Team blue ink.
Hashtag blue ink.
Hashtag blue ink in your face. There you go.
Yep.
That's right. That's right. What? The octopus, Sweet Melissa. Oh, well, they just octopus ink. Oh, I got you. What kind of ink does an octopus expel or whatever, squirt or spit, whatever they do with the ink? Does it depend on the octopus? Different octopi have different ink colors? Or is there any red ink? Blue ink? Black ink?
When they bleed.
Ink? So, I don't know.
The octocock is what sprints the ink.
Octocock, is that like the Octomom? Remember Octomom?
Yeah, Octomom.
She took the octocock.
The octocock.
The octocock.
That's what releases the ink.
That was probably the movie that she made later.
Yeah, she did have a career in pornography, short run.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know that?
You ain't feeding those eight kids by...
Hey, you're not working at Bell's.
Yeah, do the math. Two tits, eight kids. Someone's going to be hungry.
Brings a new term, new meaning to the term, sucking on the hind tit.
Yeah. The teat.
Teat?
You didn't get the tit, you got the teat. The itty bitty one.
That's right. Hey, yeah, Jimmy.
The Octobomb looked like a junkyard dog, you know?
Yeah, Casey, what do you got?
The wiffle ball field. So where is this at? Tell us, set the story up.
Okay, wait a minute. Is this about the guy who spent 10 G's on a wiffle ball field?
Yes.
Jimmy, Mike, this is up by you?
No, I believe it's in up by Detroit, Michigan somewhere. Some kid.
Oh, it's a Michigan guy. Okay.
With the Tigers, and he loved baseball so much, but he was such a fan, he became a fanatic about baseball, that he made a mountain in his backyard. His parents were upset about it, and he said, "Mom, Dad, I just love this game. I'm having my friends over. We don't have a lot of real estate, so can we build a baseball field?" They're like, "Well, at least you're off drugs, so that's cool." So we put some tarps up on the sides and made some fences and started spending more money, got a job. The kid's probably now 45 years old, still never married or anything. And
does he still live with his parents?
I'm probably sure. And because who's got 10 grand to build a baseball field for themselves? If you're a grown adult.
Kid living with his parents.
Yes. So he's got this state-of-the-art baseball field that's wiffle ball official size, and he's got like a clubhouse. He's got like 10 big screen TVs in his bar area, and it looks pretty cool. I just kind of want to be friends with him right now. So
you just want to go to his wiffle ball field.
I do. I want to use the.
What do you think? Do you think you'd be fine if I use a little spider tack on that wiffle ball and get a better control?
Oh, absolutely. You got to put a little snot on that. You know, you got to do something to get that thing to spin a little bit. Now, I played in a 3-on-3 wiffle ball tournament back in the day in Cleveland, Ohio for a chance to win $10,000. And let me tell you, that game was rigged. These guys would put BBs and stuff and weight the ball down. Yeah, it was crazy. It was out of control. And it was fun, but it was just something to do. But these guys were pros. It was like one of those traveling circuses that drive around and steal everyone's money, I think.
So it's like wiffle ball. They hustled you at wiffle ball.
Yeah, it was a hustle at wiffle ball. But these guys couldn't hit it off a tee or hard ball off a tee. So it's whatever. Everyone's got to make some money somewhere.
Guess so, right? You know, hey.
He got hustled at wiffle ball.
He did like that story.
Yeah, something it's not like he took the rent money, went and tried to gamble away and pool a guy. Also, no, I believe football. How can I lose? You know,
how can I
lose? He's like, yeah, that's a suckers bet. You know,
he lost in the Minnesota Fats of wiffle ball.
He was tag teaming with Moscone, the two best.
That's crazy. He was from Minnesota. That's fucking crazy.
It was the opposite. It was the opposite of a kingpin.
No, but that's that whole story I read on Smart News this afternoon. And
yeah, you know what? My phone wanted me to open the app, and I'm like,
oh, no, there's another link that goes to the story. You just got to kind of.
I hit the first one.
Oh, yeah. Don't do that.
But, you know, that's the wiffle ball baseball field, pretty cool. The Ric Flair new airline starting out of from the Canadian funders.
Well, it's already in existence. They're just expanding their routes.
That's pretty nice.
737 800s and
900s or
no, the max 800s and the max.
So I heard all the ladies all have like bleach blonde hair, and they have to wear like a robe. Like a flashy robe for serving cocktails.
What do they have on under the robe?
I don't think they're wearing anything under the robe. That's what makes it the Woo Airlines. That's what makes it the Woo Airlines.
So. Oh, no. They're like Octobon, you know, two tits.
Two tits?
Yeah.
Not enough for everybody.
Yeah. Yep.
But if you have multiple Woo Airline stewardesses,
there's plenty of tit around to go around.
Yeah. Plenty of boobage to go around.
Hopefully, so it goes a little longer.
You know, I read the article. I couldn't find anything about Ric Flair on it, though.
Yeah. Well, Rick's kind of a silent partner. He's kind of a silent partner. He just wants his name on.
He's like, hey, it's his Flair, but you don't see me.
No. We should call him sometime. We should call Ricky sometime and see if he wants to talk about it. But I mean, it's up to you guys. We'll see if he's if Petey will let him call in.
Hey, tell the boy to keep it down in the bathroom.
I think that would be okay.
Yeah, Broad went into the other room.
Yeah, that was breaking news last week, by the way.
What's that?
That Sandy's neighbor
was Ric Flair. Oh, yeah, that's pretty monumental. Yeah.
She's still pretty exhausted from the show last week. She said she couldn't participate this week, so she needed
a week off.
She needed a week off. So I sent her to the Bahamas to do some recognizance on
send her to Epstein Island?
Well, ooh. She says she's going to Bahamas, but she's an Epstein girl. She likes Epstein.
Epstein Island, is that like fantasy island?
She might
island,
be a little too old. She might be a little too old for Epstein.
Yeah, I mean, she's a chaperone.
Yeah, but someone's got to be able to buy it. Like, you know, they're going to be selling that thing cheap. They're like, Epstein owned it. Like, you know,
it's damaged goods right now.
Yeah. You know, unlike stocks where everyone's trying to buy high and they end up selling low in their stupid fucking
Doge. They're just trying to get rid of the island. It's got a lot of black lights all over the place, so it's hard for people to sell.
That's what you're like. That's weird. Why has it got like these drones with black lights on it?
What's going on with that? What does that mean?
Why are all these Tiger Beat magazines here?
Do kids still read those magazines like that?
I don't know if they make those anymore.
I don't know. I remember them when we were young.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's back in the day.
I know it was back in the day. I mean,
well, publishing isn't the same as it used to be.
No, it's shameful now.
Mm-hmm. A third of the newspapers exist.
It's hard. You know, it's hard to keep the. You know, you got to clean your computer screen now, and instead of like cleaning the sticky papers, you just get a new magazine.
Oh my. Oh my, Jimmy Mike. Yeah, Sweet Melissa is getting. Sweet Melissa is getting a little.
She's getting not as sweet. Out. She's not as sweet anymore. She's been tainted.
You've taken her sweetness from her.
She's getting salty.
Salty Melissa. Salty Melissa.
Sticky and salty.
Oh my. Oh boy, that's going in a direction I wasn't hoping it would go in.
Yeah, you're right. That's a Big Ed comment. Sorry.
Hey, leave the broad alone.
Aww. Yeah. Well, Big Ed's got a heart. He's got a heart. Nice.
It grew three times its original size.
Oh, my. Just like the
just like Petey.
The Grinch.
Yeah, Petey. Yeah, that Christmas where Petey.
The Grinch. The Grinch.
When Petey came off that plant and then delivered all the toys to the rest of the people.
Now he's a recluse. He's really swimming his ass off today.
Is he? We had a Petey update this afternoon from Big Ed. And Petey was awfully active.
He's foraging for food. He's flipping rocks and shit. I mean, he's a busy guy. Oh, there you go.
Hey, was he nominated or just missed the cutoff for the Olympics this year?
Petey tested positive for marijuana. Ooh. Apparently, he smoked weed with Sha'Carri Richardson.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, at least he had fun, man. That's the American in him. I like that.
Yeah.
Actually, Sha'Carri Richardson, she had some nails on her too, boy.
She did.
She could claw
that
you.
That broad could run. She did it to herself.
She unfortunately, you know.
Didn't she admit she did it?
Anti-doping agency considers marijuana, enhancement. Drug, which, you know, we can all make that argument, but unfortunately, the athletes know they test for it, so.
So don't smoke damn weed.
But she owned up to it. She said she did it, so.
She'll be back.
Oh, yeah, she'll be back. She's young. I think she was only 21, so.
Yeah. I mean, don't stun her fun. I mean, she's just a kid. Let her have some fun.
Because girls,
listen, these athletes aren't going to have any fun at the Olympics. There's no crowd. No. There's going to be no vendors. There's going to be it's a joke.
Do you think these athletes bang each other from all over the world?
Generally, of course, what they do. Yeah. They give out a lot of condoms, but they told them
no banging this. No banging at the Tokyo Olympics.
Like these young people all together.
Yeah, they're all young folks.
Fit people from all over the world. You know, they're there for like 2.5 weeks.
So they're going to be like.
They can't keep it in their pants for 2.5 weeks.
It's a great opportunity, Sweet Melissa.
Yeah varieties of spice.
Hey, I got to bang the Japanese gymnast. It was fucking awesome, and I'm a swimmer.
Well, Someone didn't like that comment.
Yeah, he doesn't like, he doesn't
think
like
about it. You could go around the world. You could go look at the face. If you guys could only see Sweet Melissa's face. No, Sweet Melissa, you would.
She's not sweet anymore. She's getting sour.
Oh, sour Melissa.
I don't know. See, if I was an Olympian, I'd take advantage of that situation.
You're crushing it. You're like, what are we at the Comedy Store in L.A.? This is great.
Are we laughing at Sweet Melissa? Or are we laughing with her?
No. We're laughing at the jokes. The crowd is.
The crowd, our studio audience.
Studio audience.
You guys are starting to grow faster than
the studio audience.
I am the studio audience.
Hey, speaking of Casey.
Yes.
If our listeners at home, they wanted to get in contact with us, you know, give us some ideas for show content or share their excitement for Warm Beer and Cheap Seats, how can they get in touch with us?
Well, you can follow us on Twitter at Beer Seats, or you can email us at the show at warmbeerandacheapseats.com. Or you just can find our homepage at warmbeerandacheapseats.com.
Hey,
or you can call Casey on his cell phone at.
Yeah. Yeah, Big Ed, don't worry. I'll respond with someone else's phone number.
Wow. So, fans.
411.
Reach on out to us. Give us a. Hey, just give us some input. Let us know you're listening.
Let your fingers do the walking.
And
let us know if you attended.
It's a snap.
Yeah, and let us know. Sweet Melissa wants to. Hey, let us know which Olympians you'd bang.
Yeah.
That's a great hashtag bang an Olympian.
Yeah.
I love that segment. Is that next week's or is that the week after?
Hashtag Olympian I'd like to bang.
So, hey, and speaking of listeners, I want to say hello. We got a new listener out there, Nick.
Tin Man?
No, that's the Tin Man.
Well, the Tin Man's right there.
Oh, hey, Tin Man, what's happening? Hey, Nick, it's Big Mike giving you a shout out. Thanks for listening to the show.
Oh, yo.
That's Lord. Nick, don't pay attention to that.
What is that?
That's the Tin Man.
Oil. Oil, yeah. Hey, what do you think? What weight oil? What do you think?
He's been there for the whole 56 weeks, and now we can hear him. Oil. He's been saying it for almost a year. He's been there the whole time.
What do you think? Is he a 10W30 guy, sewing machine oil, WD-40?
Yeah, WD-40.
Or is he like a good Molly lube, or you know, wheel bearing grease?
Mouse milk.
I think he's got.
Yeah, I've got to hit him with some mouse's milk. Penetrate. Oh no, he took a shave oil.
So, Big Mike, is Sweet Melissa? Is she going to run the hashtag I want to bang an Olympian segment next week?
Yes, she will. Sweet Melissa will be on. Hashtag, I want to bang an Olympian. We should, you know what? Maybe that could be, we are coming up on the Olympics, and we do have to do something for the Olympics. I'm not a big Olympic fan, but if we're going to like talk about
maybe hashtag, I bang, too could be on the Wheaties box.
You guys could write it out for me, and I could try to read it.
Hang on, how about hashtag?
Yeah, let's tell the world our script for next week. Good idea. Yeah. So you don't have to. So you don't have to tune in next week. Just find out tonight.
No. I mean,
we'll give you details.
It's called a teaser. It's called a teaser. They don't know how it plays out.
No.
23-minute teaser.
Time. I think we should send Sweet Melissa to Tokyo.
They're not having any fans.
Well, no, she needs for her segment. She needs one fan.
Wow.
One fan. Well, she'll be the only fan, but she could go out and say, "Hey, you know, walk around and say, who would you like to bang if you had the opportunity? Who would you?"
Well,
like?
You know what? No. We dye her hair black. We put some Scotch tape on her eyes and she can shave.
Oh, no. Stop.
Big Ed, what are you doing? But yeah, it's not.
Well, so she can blend in with the, you know.
Wait. Hang on. Hold on. Let me just read the thing. Deflammatory harassment, obscene, or racist comments is prohibited.
No, it's respectful. It's inflammatory, not deflammatory.
Yeah. Yeah. Dope.
Oh boy. Yeah.
Well, I say rock's a rock, Marisha.
To our Asian fans, I'm sorry. But we can still send Sweet Melissa to do some reconnaissance and do a remote from Tokyo.
Yeah, I think it's in the budget.
It definitely is in the budget. Zoom them. You know.
She could Zoom. Hashtag who wants to bang an Olympian?
Let's check the old checkbook. Let's go to the ledger. See.
Ledger's kind of bare, but you never know. Might get a sponsor.
But we got that check from Hellman's. We should be all right.
Well, we would have if Big Mike didn't trash him. We were getting a big check from him.
And the tuna from Subway.
Hashtag, I hate mayonnaise.
Hashtag, Melissa does not go to Tokyo.
Hey, real quick, did you know, so New York Times sent Subway's tuna fish sandwich. They said they could not find any traceable DNA of whatever it was. They didn't even know what it was. They said of no fish.
They
no traceable DNA.
It was, they all they knew it was delicious.
Fucking crazy. Non-traceable DNA. What are they making?
That is messed up.
I would still get a Subway tuna, though.
You love it. That's your favorite. But you won't eat mayonnaise.
Hey, Haley Davidson's running in this. She's running in the dirt tonight. There are three girls in the field tonight in the camper wall season.
Haley's full-time trucks.
Yeah, she's going to be...
Right, but there's...
She's not full-time trucks. No, she's full-time Xfinity this year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
But she is running some Select Truck Series races. We're going to flip on the truck.
She's in the mud tonight. And you know who else? Norm Benning is running. That's what I meant to tell you guys about. Norm Benning. He was with that group of guys, Ron Bouchard and guys that just... You know,
he came up in the 80s. These Bouchard was hot, man.
Yeah, yeah, he won. He won some races. I think
Bouchard
came
out of New England, and I think he won Talladega.
Right. That was his...
I think he had. I think Ron Bouchard had two wins in the Cup Series. So, speaking of Cup Series, speaking of trucks, what do you guys think about NASCAR really putting a lot of dirt races in? You know. They're in the trucks, two races this year on dirt.
I think it's
we had the Cup cars on dirt. What's your thoughts?
My cup size is family.
You have a cup size of family?
She said Stanley.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, sorry. She was dying to say that since she saw the sign the other night. Yeah, I'm
Norm Benning was born in 1952. He's 69.
You're good with dirt? Big Ed, you good with dirt? What's your thoughts on dirt?
Well, I'm being exposed to it more, so I'm liking it.
Now, here's Big Mike.
I like it like this. Like tonight it's muddy.
Yeah, so, and you know, it depends
they're
on the
really
track.
Gonna have to, yeah, yeah. They
depends
really
on the
have
track.
To
they
got to
groom the track. So right. You don't want the track too muddy. You don't want the track too dry. You got to find it. It's faster where it's wet on the track. That's the fast part of the racetrack. When it dries out, that's when it slows down. But here's Big Mike.
This whole track is wet.
Yeah, well, you know, Knoxville, Iowa is a famous, famous, famous dirt track. They got sprint cars there up there this week. They ran the SRX cars there the week – last week? Was it last week or the week before?
Last week they were in what racing oil? Lucas racing oil.
Lucas Raceway. Indy Raceway. Indy Raceway. Indianapolis Raceway Park. Now it's called Lucas Oil Raceway. So yes. Yeah, they're on a short track up there. Week before they were at
Knoxville. That's where they were the week before. Okay, possibly.
They're at Knoxville. The week
they were
before.
Eldora.
That's right. Eldora, they ran at Knoxville 3 weeks ago. Because they ran Knoxville, then they ran Eldora, then Indianapolis Raceway Park, aka Lucas Oil Raceway. And then this week they're at Slinger, if I'm not mistaken. In Wisconsin.
I've been recording it. I've been liking it.
I like it. Now, let's get back to the dirt. Here's Big Mike's 2 cents on dirt. Dear NASCAR, don't overdo the dirt. I really love the dirt racing. I think it's cool.
One or two races.
I agree with that case. Please don't overdo it. Please don't overdo it. We don't need five dirt races, just like we don't need as many night races as we have now. I'm a fan of night racing. Don't overdo the night racing. I'm a fan of the dirt. Don't overdo the dirt. Keep it bite-sized portions. I think right now NASCAR has really got a great balance on the schedule. We got a great variety, everything from super speedway, short tracks. We got a new short track coming up with California, with a reconfiguration in California. We got a great number of road courses. I like the road courses. And we got dirt. So, this just in from Casey. How about a Wednesday night race?
Please just throw a couple in there.
Well, you know what?
Breaks up the summer.
Here's the thing. During
Because all we got now is baseball. Basketball is going to be about done. Hockey's done. You know, we don't have football. You just got baseball. Why not capture a couple Wednesday night races?
Now, I agree
you can do it like instead of doing the – Pocono, where they did Saturday Sunday,
run it during the week.
Do a Wednesday Sunday, so we break it off.
Now I agree with this.
You know what? You know why they won't do a Wednesday night race? Because people drink too much at the track, and it would never make it to work on Thursday.
Well, here's the thing, Big Ed. Last year during the height of the pandemic, NASCAR did run some weekday evening races.
Yes.
I loved it too. I couldn't wait to get home to watch the races. I was so excited.
I forgot about that. You're right. And people did. Yeah.
But you know what the problem was? Not enough people tuned in. It didn't make sense. NASCAR figured, hey, this doesn't make sense. I guess we're in the minority thinking that
if it doesn't make money, it's not going to happen.
Correct. Because they're in the business of making money like every other big sports league.
Well, you got to let people know you're doing something. Don't do something and keep it a secret.
Get out there. I think they should give it a try again.
For example, Jimmy's not going to go to the American Ballet and not be known that he's there for warm beer and cheap seats.
He's going to let everybody know.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to know.
Everyone, including local law enforcement.
Correct. I think local law enforcement will be the ones that get to know him more intimately.
They're going
to
be like a picture.
I promise you, they'll be the second people to know. The first one's dialing.
Hopefully they're not listening to this podcast.
Yeah. I'm going to say most likely not, but if they are, good on them. Thanks for listening.
Yeah.
Don't let Jimmy Mike do his thing,
Hopefully
though.
You're more responsive than the Capitol Police. Wait, too soon?
Not too soon.
Too soon. It's okay.
So when I
thought it was too late. But
when I wear the leotard, do I put a potato in the front of the suit or in the back of the suit?
So do you want to have a bulge or a load?
Wait, you mean like Einhorn and Sfinkel, like something like that?
Yes.
Einhorn and Sfinkel. Sfinkel is Einhorn.
As long as the laces are out, I'm okay.
Well, on the front it could say Einhorn, and in the back it could say Finkel.
Finkel, yeah.
I'm lost. What's Einhorn and Finkel?
From Ace Ventura.
Never watched Ace Ventura.
What?
Oh, man.
I never watched it.
Casey, play the disappointing sound right now. Oh.
Yeah.
I was waiting for the
again. Again.
Yes.
Again.
Again.
Hey, shame. Casey, don't you have the
shame. Prices? Yeah.
The price is right. It goes bum bum ba bum.
D, all of the above.
Well, yeah, so that's why I'm oblivious. Sorry, guys.
Hey,
oops.
Big Mike, if you would have ate your mayonnaise, you would have watched that show.
No, because I would have been puking.
All right, there'll be a side project. There'll
side
be
project.
Like a post show. We'll have to watch that movie.
Okay. So anyway, speaking of the show, we need to get to. Cue up the music.
Hold on.
All right, here we go. It's Big Ed's Rock and Roll Retrospective. Take it away, Big Ed.
Thank you, guys. I chose AC/DC for those about to rock. I don't know, it just struck me as the redheaded stepchild to Back in Black. It was the eighth album by the Australian hard rock band AC/DC. It was released on November 23rd, 1981. I was a senior in high school. This album was really big in my adolescent years. The album sold over 7 million copies. It would be AC/DC's first and only number one album in the U.S. until the release of Black Ice. But to imagine this album eclipsed Back in Black, which was a huge... This was big shoes to fill. So this album went number one, sold 7 million copies. In Australia, the album peaked at number three. AC/DC are Brian Johnson on lead vocals, Angus and Malcolm Young on guitar, Cliff Williams bass, and Phil Rudd on drums. It was recorded between May and September of 81 in Paris. Produced by Robert John Mutt Lang. Mutt Lang he's like a god in rock and roll. He's worked with acts like Shania Twain, Def Leppard, Boomtown Rat, City Boy, Outlaws, Foreigner, Huey Lewis, Bryan Adams, Celine Dion, Britney Spears, The Coors, Michael Bolton, Nickelback, Maroon 5, Romeo's Delight, Billy Ocean, Lady Gaga, I mean, The Cars. The list doesn't end. It's a carousel of Grammy Award-winning acts. There's 10 tracks. 40 minutes long. It's action-packed from start to finish. Starts off with For Those About to Rock, the identical opening riff. That's their signature style. A few couple of chords, you know, like in Back in Black or Put the Finger on You. Let's Get It Up, another party anthem. Inject the Venom. These are all songs that are very familiar if you ever listen to AC/DC, or you don't even have to know AC/DC. You hear it and you go, oh, that's an AC/DC song, you know? Goes into Evil Walk, COD, Breaking the Rules, Night of Long Knives, and one of my favorites, Spellbound. Starts out with a rock anthem that gets you hooked, and most songs start with the most identifiable riffs of rock and roll. That's AC/DC. Then right into Put the Finger on You. The whole album flows this way until the closing track is Spellbound. A great anchor and overlooked gem in his AC/DC catalog. I always said that this could have been side three and four for Back in Black. Mutt Lang produced Back in Black as well. It just carries over because it worked. The whole sound worked. The tune worked. This album never achieved the sales of Back in Black. Ironically, this album did go to number one. Eclipsed by Back in Black's number four peak on the charts, but did sell over 50 million copies. The Young Brothers are equal in talent, in my opinion. Cliff Williams on bass and is a very underrated bassist. You need something for the guitar to walk on, and Cliffy provides his riffs, and this album, his riffs are almost incendiary. Then you have the New Zealand Hugh Hefner, Phil Rudd, no relation to the NASCAR Rudds on racing. He's on the drums.
Thanks for this clarification. Album,
yeah, some people would be confused by that. It's like, oh, I thought he was the adopted one. So this album's very dear to me, a part of my adolescence and my anthem from a time of trials and adventures, which are almost mythical now. Hard to believe these things actually happened. Well, it did, doing about 115 of my formula, the General Lee of Nessaquag. And that's it for for those about to rock.
Excellent. And I think this is a great album, and I agree with you, Big Ed. I think this is every bit as good or maybe even better than Back in Black, my opinion. This is a strong album.
A lot of this stuff was wrote during that time period. So it's only a year later it came out.
It is. And track after track, this is one you can put on the turntable or click on your Apple Music and play every single track. And it's not one that you want to jump from song to song. You want to listen to the whole thing. And our show's all about that synergy, the synergy that we have. There's synergy in this album. It's very cohesive.
Yes, very much. Like Snowballed, if you ever heard this on an 8-track, any guys, Big Mike, does your car have an 8-track? Well, you know how it would click.
My 70 Mustang had an 8-track.
It would click.
It would click, and in the middle of Snowballed, it would click into the next track and then pick up where it left off, as if you took and flipped it over. Except it does it in the middle of a song, and the 8-track did that all the time. Because you had so much room on a tape. Yeah, it was an 8-track, but it was really a 4-track. It was two. It was a very weird setup. It was like a continuous loop. It never ended, you know? I mean, you put an 8-track on and it would just play and play and play and play.
Until it blew up.
Something broke, whether the tape wore out.
Yeah.
I had this on an 8-track in my formula, and that's why I threw that little zing in the end.
I like that little thing.
Yeah, we can always circle back to the General Lee of Missisquoi another time.
I think we want to. Put that down for next show.
Yes, but I like the album. I've always been more partial to Bon Scott, AC/DC.
Really? See, I'm more partial to...
Right.
Brian.
Yeah, Brian Johnson. Yep. And, you know what? Dirty Deeds, Done Dirt Cheap is, I don't know why, that's always been my favorite AC/DC album. But I like this album. You know, I loved Razor's Edge, whatever. I mean, you know,
Mike Lang, he worked with Bon Scott.
He always kind of cracked me up, though, with like Angus was pretty humble and saying, you know, it was his brother. He's like, he would always say his brother was the talent and his brother could play lead, but his brother didn't want to do the antics that Angus was willing to do for the show. So that's the only reason why Angus was the lead guitarist and his brother played rhythm. Otherwise, if it didn't matter, they would flip. And then in an interview with Guitar World in the 2000s, and this was like before Black Ice came out, and some guy's like, you know, you've been accused of having like basically 14 albums that sound exactly alike. And Angus like, fuck you. It's 15 albums that sound exactly alike.
Yeah.
You know, but he acknowledges Angus, you know, in a way, you know, tongue in cheek, acknowledges, look, we have a sound. We know what we're good at. And then we're just going to keep exercising.
Yeah. Like almost half of their songs have like a guitar riff that opens it. That's a signature. You know, Hell's Bells, Injected Venom, let's get it up. There's just a ton of songs. Back in Black.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, you go to a Bucks game and what do you hear? You hear some kind of AC/DC song introducing the team or at halftime or, you know, it's just one of those bands and everybody can identify with it.
Thunderstruck is an anthem song. Yeah,
but the first two look to come in after the Phil Bon Scott Shoes. That's just an amazing task, and the fact that the album they did it with sold 50 million copies, which was second to Thriller. So this
you're exactly right to think that. Then you had an album, like you said, went number four, and then they had another album after that went number one. I mean.
Well, because they brought a whole new listening audience.
There's not many bands that did that. I think Van Halen's like the only other band I could think that switched a popular lead singer. And not well, though Van Halen, that was by choice, but AC/DC was by survival.
By necessity. Yeah. Necessity. So good album though.
Yeah.
Fan of the album. Big Ed, what do you rate this one? What's the rating?
This is a 4.
Oh, wow. 4 on the Big Ed-o-meter. That's pretty solid.
We haven't done that since Grateful Dead.
Well, you know what? I try to pick albums that are familiar to me, and it just I think they would appeal to, you know, a good amount of people. So unless it's something that you guys throw at me, like the Poco, and I was surprised that I gave that not surprised because it was good, but I didn't think it'd be that good, and I gave it a 3.32 or something.
I can throw some more at you, Big Ed.
No. I have a couple. I'm getting to get into a groove. I have a couple. Mutt Lang also was on Highway to Hell.
Yeah.
It's the first time he worked with him. So.
Oh, well, that was the first album he worked with him.
Yeah. He did He did 3 albums. He did Highway to Hell, Back in Black, and For Those About to Rock. 3.
Wow.
You know.
3 big albums.
Yep.
That, I mean, that kind of defines AC/DC, those 3 albums, really.
Yeah.
You know, he did a lot of work with Def Leppard, too.
He did High and Dry. He did Pyromania, Adrenalize, and Hysteria. Yeah. Another bang, bang, bang. Those are just, you know, and Pyromania and Hysteria were just skyrocketing. Yeah. Well, he also did Foreigner 4, which was a huge selling album too, 1980. I mean, he didn't mess around.
No, the Cars,
Heartbeat City.
Billy the most sought after rock producer.
Brian Adams, Michael Bolton. I mean, like you, Shania Twain. Nickelback, Maroon 5, Muse, Ashley Clark, Tycoon, Boomtown Rats.
And he did other things with Shania Twain.
Yeah.
He did.
Yeah.
Most of them were pretty cool.
There are things I would want to do to Shania Twain.
Yeah. Oh, staying Canada.
Now she lives in, like, Europe somewhere, I think.
Is she an Olympic athlete?
No.
Shania Twain?
Because we
can't
have
be the hashtag of Olympians I want to do or whatever.
Olympians I want to bang.
Oh yeah, that.
Hashtag Olympian I would bang.
Yeah.
Hashtag the difference between an Olympian and a recording artist.
Does it really
hashtag
matter?
Hashtag big difference.
Does it matter?
Jimmy, we know you only
apparently
have
because
eyes
we're
for
talking
Carol
about
King.
That's it. And thank you for recognizing my loyalty.
Where I only have eyes for
That was a tapestry of bullshit right there.
I only have eyes for Linda Ronstadt.
Oh, I like that because didn't she do a song that said tapestry?
That was Carole King.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
See how Big Ed turned it in there?
Wow, that's pretty good.
See, think he's just jerking off at the Montecito all day, you know, just
he's
doing
not.
Security stuff.
Well,
yelling at Danny.
Yeah,
is somebody taking a leak?
Yeah, what's going on over here?
Sounds like someone needs a plumber.
Rinsing my iced coffee cup.
That's good. Hey, you know what? That's the production value we bring to this podcast.
Yeah.
Hey, Jimmy, you want to get a load of laundry going too?
Yeah, I was thinking about it, but I got another load going somewhere else.
The only thing we need now is somebody farting on the air, and then we got.
Well, that's where you're setting up that other load. Was taking a shit.
Big old.
Yeah.
Drop a Ruski into the toilet. Bloop.
Yeah.
Number 2. Who do you work for? Number 2. Number 2.
Oh my. Well.
Often.
You get anything? You have anything else to add to everybody's lives here on this lovely Friday evening podcast? We missed anything?
God, I hope we did, so we could have it for next week.
Remember, hashtag an Olympian. I want to bang. That should be our assignment for next week.
I think that's going to be fantastic.
Sweet, Melissa.
Someone's taking a piss now.
Oh, that was Petey.
Petey.
Take a dump.
Petey.
Oh, yeah. Well, NBCSN Sports Network, goodbye for everything. Their NASCAR coverage will be going to USA. Yeah. I think a lot of their sports coverage is going to USA.
Yeah, I think it's a seamless transition. They're just going to change.
I believe so.
Well, you know what? So Turner, so with hockey, it was a dual bid. It's a 7-year contract between Disney, which is going to be the ESPN family plus ABC, and Turner Media, which is basically TNT, TBS, but it could be, you know, a couple other little minor channels. A good portion of the NBC crew, to include the great Kenny Albert and Eddie Olczyk, are going to be calling the hockey games.
But not all of them.
Not all of them. Correct. But a good portion of them. Doc Emmerich retired, but he did one final piece, which was really tasteful, and it shows for the high production value and class that NBC Sports presents in presenting a sport. But ESPN, you know, them being the wild world leader of sports, I dread watching anything they do outside of college football. Outside of college game day, their NFL coverage is horrible. It's the worst broadcast team. Baseball is unwatchable, and I watch a lot of baseball. They have A-Rod calling the game, and you're like, and I just sit there wondering. I'm like, the guy played baseball for 20 years. What was he fucking doing out there?
Is he that bad?
He talks about things as if he's learning about the game for the first time. And then you have Mendoza going, literally, saying literally every inning, which is a drinking game. And I would say I remember how many times I've done it, but I blacked out too many times.
Wow.
Their hockey coverage wasn't great in the past, so, and they're bringing back basically the same hockey crew from 2004.
No, Kenny Albert does good at hockey.
Kenny Albert is fantastic. And
he's got a great voice, too, for that.
He does. And listen, Kenny works as if he owes a debt to the mob. Because he also does radio for the Knicks, the Rangers.
Great analogy.
Yeah.
Dude, the guy
that epitomizes works, busting your ass, you know?
Dude, like, it's crazy, man. But he is good. I like him. And he still calls football for Fox. I think he's, like, their third team, broadcast. Kenny's fine. So when they go to TBS TNT, that's going to be a good good team. But they did a good send off with Doc Emmerich and
fantastic.
Yeah, so that ended up running till like 1 o'clock at night, but I had to watch it. I'm a sucker for all that like sign off and kind of stuff. So that's all I gotta say about that.
Well, there you go.
Well, you know what I'll do? I'll put on the Twitter Doc Emmerich's sign off for NBC Sports.
All right.
For hockey. Because it was 15 years, and 15 years of great coverage. They created the Winter Classic, They brought in the ushered the new era of the shootout in regular season. They put the guy in between the bench that reports live.
Right.
Where there have been fights with the reporter standing in between.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So
it's some groundbreaking stuff.
NBC does great. I hope NBC never lose the Olympics. If it goes to ESPN, it'll be a shit show.
Yep.
So. That's all I have to say about that.
There you go.
There you have it.
Wait, it's not.
Oh, and by the way, if anyone didn't notice, Marv Albert is retired.
All right. Retired what? He's retired at biting or announcing?
Well, no. He's free to do that. No, he called his last game. Because he was on the TNT, and ABC ESPN has the NBA Finals, and he was retiring this year. So, no more. It would be great if ABC was great.
Hey, Chuck Grace, five to go.
Bring
him
in for one game, so he'd be like, Chris Paul for a three. Yes, from downtown. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, is it true that Sweet Melissa is going to have Marv Albert on the on her segment next week?
Broadcasters that she likes to bang.
Wow.
I thought he wanted to just bang from Olympians. But, okay.
Again, the difference between an Olympian and someone else.
I said broadcaster. I mean, I would have went Al Michaels, but, you know.
All I got to say to that is, wow.
I'm
going to
Google.
I would say, yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. He's quite the gentleman. He wipes up his jizz off my chest.
Easy, Big Ed. This is a family show, yeah. Kind of not, but still.
Al Michaels, they say a class act in and out of the bedroom.
Sports Michaels, sports machine.
Uh-oh.
Wow, just when we thought we were.
Here, let me wipe that, my bad.
Well, so, I guess, what do you think? Are we calling it a show? I think it's a show.
Why? You have somewhere to go?
Yeah. Where? How about you?
Just got to clean up everything off of.
I got all day.
All night?
Uh-oh. You know what that
apparently
means.
Not.
We're hitchhiking out of here.
Time to hitchhike out of town.
Come on, Petey. Let's get out of here.
Petey, you're the man.
Well, hey. Thanks, everybody. Thank you for listening to us. Like, share. Jump on the Twitter machine with us. Email us. We really appreciate you. Stay safe out there. Do crazy shit and email it to us.
Hashtag Sweet Melissa Goes to Tokyo.
Peace out, Jamie. Thank you, everyone.
Later.
Catch you next
week. Take care, guys. See you. Out.
That was good. Bye, everybody.